So on Friday, most of us were here to see the play. And at the end of the play, Cam Wenday said, "Now that was just episode one. Stay tuned for the rest of the story." And I'm going to read the rest of the story this morning. So this is John chapter 2, verses 1 to 23. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary of Magdala went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still do not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary of Magdala went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." She told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning all, and welcome to this Easter Sunday, where we celebrate the most important event in the Christian calendar, and indeed what we believe is the most important and significant event in world history, an event that impacts lives today and continues to transform the world we live in. The resurrection from the dead of the crucified man, Jesus, signaling the dawn of a new day, the dawn of a new era, a dawn where darkness and suffering and evil are defeated by the victorious living body of Jesus. A dawn of light, a dawn of hope, a dawn of mercy for you, for me, for the world, forevermore. When the sun rose on that first Easter Sunday, it was no ordinary sunrise. And so as the sun rose this morning, this day, it reminds us again of what Jesus has accomplished for us, for the whole world. A new dawn, a new day. As we've read John's Gospel, I just want to open today by asking, have you ever been in a situation where you've lost something and you're desperately looking for that thing or a person, and you can't find it? And the worst part of it all is it's staring you right in the face. You know what I'm talking about. When you've lost your reading glasses, and where are they? On your head. Something I'm very guilty of. When you've lost your phone and you're panicking, where is my phone? And you're looking for it, and lo and behold, it's in your pocket. Or, I'm guilty of doing this one, it's in your hand and you've got your flashlight out and you're looking for your phone. Or has anyone done this where you're on the phone to someone saying, I've lost my phone, can you find my phone? Yep. These stories illustrate to us something of what's happening in this very bizarre reading that we've just read. We as humans are not very good at seeing clearly, even when something is staring at us right in the face. And when we read the Gospel of John and its account of the resurrection, we notice this happening again and again and again. So Peter rushes straight into the tomb, but he doesn't understand the meaning of the empty tomb. And then poor Mary, it happens to Mary a few times. Just talk to the person next to you or people around you just briefly for 30 seconds. Why do you think Mary didn't recognize Jesus? Just spend some time, 30 seconds, just talking with the people around you. So, as it turns out, this motif of people meeting Jesus, speaking to Jesus, and not quite understanding what he's saying, or not quite realizing who Jesus actually is a really common motif in the whole Gospel of John. It happens to Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. He doesn't quite get it at first. It happens to the Samaritan woman at the well. And it happens to a blind man and many more. There are many moments in the gospel where people see Jesus, but they don't see Jesus. There is a blindness that rests upon people so long as they don't fully comprehend who Jesus really is. And the same's true for Mary, right? She sees an empty tomb, But she doesn't understand what's happened, what it means. She sees two angels and thinks them for just people. She even sees Jesus in the flesh, alive, breathing right before her, but mistakes him for the gardener. Why this blindness? I think the answer is in what Mary says, because she says it three times in this passage. She says, they've taken the body of the Lord, and I don't know where they've put his body. So Mary has this script in her head, and it affects her perception of reality. Mary has a script in her head, and it affects her perception of reality. And this is something that's true for every one of us, right? We all have our own internal script. We all have that something that we come back to and we tell ourselves again and again when something happens and we need to interpret the world around us. We all have a script that shapes our worldview and even our very identities. I wonder, what is your script? As you've come here this Sunday, what is your script? Maybe your script is that Jesus is still dead, that his body never rose again in the tomb, that in the end, really, Jesus was just a human. Maybe your script is that Jesus did rise from the dead, so he is your savior, but he didn't ascend to the Father's side. So he's not really king of the universe. He doesn't reign by the right hand of the Father. So then God's forgiven me, Jesus has forgiven me, but it's a one-way ticket for me into God's good books. So really, I can live my life however I like, and God doesn't really have any say about how I ought to live my life. Maybe your script is that Jesus cannot love you because you've done something so bad, or that you are a person that's too bad for God to love you. Friends, whatever your script is, it blinds you and it holds you back from encountering the risen Jesus. Because Easter Sunday was no ordinary sunrise. Easter Sunday flips whatever our script was. On that first Easter Sunday, Mary saw Jesus, but she didn't see Jesus. Her script continued to hold her back from encountering him, that he had risen from the dead and he was standing, living and breathing right before her eyes. It wasn't until Jesus, in his grace, called her by name, Mary, that she recognized him. She recognized with her ears, and then she recognized with her eyes. This moment of Jesus calling Mary by name reminds us of two other moments in the Gospel of John. The first is when Jesus is preaching about the Good Shepherd. He says, "The Good Shepherd calls his sheep by name and leads them." How many of you have ever seen a farmer or a shepherd at work? Maybe in real life or a video on the internet, where there'll be flocks of animals on a hill and the shepherd will call out and all of the sheep, all of the herds will recognize that voice and come flocking to that voice that they recognize. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And the other time in the Gospel of John, the second time, is when Lazarus was dead in the tomb. as he was dead in the tomb, what did Jesus say? Lazarus, come out. He called Lazarus by name, and Lazarus rose from the dead too. So when Jesus calls Mary by name, this is the voice of the Good Shepherd calling her back to him. This is the same voice as the voice that at a single word can give life. Mary needed to hear that voice. Her blindness kept her from seeing him. Her internal script kept her back from reality. Do you need to hear the risen Jesus saying your name today? Are you feeling lost in life at the moment, that you've lost your way, you don't know where your purpose is in life? The risen Jesus stands outside the empty tomb and he calls your name. Are you feeling stuck in a rut in life at the moment, like you need rescuing from your deepest fears and worries? The risen Jesus calls your name. Are you feeling dead inside, like Lazarus in the tomb? You need someone to wake you up to something better. The risen Jesus calls your name. Are you feeling comfortable, like life is going well with you, like you could see the empty tomb, but leave it be and just walk past? The risen Jesus calls your name too. And I say this because the good news of Easter Sunday is this. We are all lost and fumbling around in the dark, unable to see things clearly, unable to do the right things that really need to be done in the world. All things eventually perish. All things eventually get swallowed up in death. And yet, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have life, life eternal. Jesus has risen from the dead. He has defeated death. He has been vindicated by God, and now he reigns as King of the universe. A King who is a good shepherd, who will seek out even just one lost sheep. Easter Sunday means that the world doesn't end in Easter Saturday, with grave and death having the final word. Easter Sunday means that there is a new dawn, a new day, a new era of life after death, a new era of forgiveness and mercy, a new era of becoming children of God. And that's what Jesus announces to Mary. I am ascending to my Father, and now your Father, to my God and to your God. Come to Jesus, hear him calling your name today. Praise him for the new dawn that he has made. But equally, don't be like Peter, in a hurry, in a rush, and miss out what's right in front of you. Whereas the other disciple took some time to absorb what was happening, to observe the strips of linen, the burial cloths where Jesus's body had laid, Peter ran straight past him and ran straight into the empty tomb. And he didn't quite get what was happening. I think this is something that's all too easy for us in Australia, in our modern context, to be guilty of running straight into the empty tomb. We're always in a hurry. We're always busy. We're always in a rush. How many encounters with Jesus do you and I miss out on because we're in a hurry? If this is you, slow down. Take a breather in life. Really notice what's in front of you. Be present and really meet with God. So whereas Mary had a script in her head that held her back from encountering Jesus, Peter was in too much of a hurry. He ran straight into the empty tomb and didn't quite notice that Jesus had risen from the dead. And so as we experience the sunrise today on this new dawn, I have this to say to you today from our passage. What I have to say to you today is, let go of the old ways, embrace the new day. Let go of the old ways, embrace the new day. Firstly, when Jesus appeared to his disciples after rising from the dead, he said to them, "If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive their sins, they are not forgiven." In the Greek, it says something more like, "If you should hold on to, if you should cling to, if you restrain something, it will remain clinged to. It will remain restrained." Jesus calls his disciples to forgive, to let go of what they are clinging to. A sin, a mistake, an injustice. Let it go. Forgive. Give it to God. The old ways are gone and the new day has dawned. That's why Jesus breathes his Holy Spirit upon his disciples. It's a moment of new creation where Jesus is creating a new world order, just like how God in the beginning created by his Spirit, a Spirit that was breathing life into all living creatures. The new dawn means there is a new era of mercy and forgiveness, and it's here to stay. Will you let go of what you're clinging to? Will you embrace the forgiveness Jesus has offered you and forgive others as he has forgiven you? Secondly, when Mary realized Jesus was alive, what did she do? She held on to him. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me. I've not yet ascended to the Father." And again, in the Greek, we find that what Jesus is saying is, "Do not grasp me. Do not cling to me. Do not hold fast to me." Jesus had not yet ascended to the right hand of the Father to reign as King of the universe. For some of us here tonight, today, we are like Mary. We cling to our version of Jesus. A version of Jesus that might not actually reflect who Jesus actually is right now. Does your version of Jesus matter in how you ought to be living your life? Let go of it. The new dawn means that Jesus is King of the universe. He will return one day to judge the living and the dead. Let go of your fanciful version of Jesus and embrace him as he really is. And lastly, when Jesus resurrected in the tomb, he left behind his burial cloths. Burial cloths that belonged to his dead corpse. If we are people of the new dawn, then it's up to us to leave behind our burial cloths, the things that we consciously continue to wear even though they don't belong on us any longer. Whatever your burial cloths are, your script, your hurried life, perhaps things in your past, take them off, let them go. With the sunrise of this Sunday, we are reminded that the new dawn is here and it's here to stay. The old ways are gone and the new dawn of light, mercy and hope has dawned forevermore. Amen.